This is Kate Scott Allen of OTCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Welcome to Herding Code, and today is June 13th. We're live at the Norwegian Developers Conference, NDC. I am Rob Connery, taking over for Kevin Dente, who couldn't be here. We're talking to Laurette Bunyan from Identity Mine, and you do user experience. That's what you explained it as?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Well, so let's jump right into it. We were just talking about the work you're doing, XAML and WPF and those things. And I'm curious about the whole JavaScript movement in Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
And since you work on this stuff every day, how many of your clients are asking for that specialty, or are they just asking for XAML-based things?
Mm-hmm. Well, so we are known for XAML and C-sharp experience. So very often when people come to us, it's because they already have the idea of doing a XAML C-sharp application, but we have cases, you know, ever so often where they say, well, we are not sure. So, okay, what do you want to do? And then usually what we do is we check a few things, right? Like, what is the experience of the team? If they have a, you know, web-based server application already, it kind of makes sense to rather go the HTML route, and also what kind of document do they want to display. So far, honestly, the number of clients where we had a really valid reason to go with HTML JavaScript is very small. And in one case, it was because they are pre-rendering things on the server already for their, you know, HTML website, so it kind of made sense to integrate that into the application. In another case, it was purely a question of the team experience. They are web developers, and so they, you know, they, it made sense for them to continue that work like that. But our experience is that people who come really to this space, to the, you know, the Slate space, to the things like that, except for the phone gap movement, which is something else because we do also phone applications, but really people who want native applications, usually they want pretty native, and for them native rather means C-sharp and also with some parts in the C++, which is also something that we do quite a lot, actually, some hybrid applications for performance reasons. What we find is that we are just so much more productive with XAML and C#, and especially because we have this, you know, experience. We work very closely with designers, so we have designers in-house. We have a very strong creative team, and I think that this fidelity to the design is something that we have really been selling a lot. We have this experience, this workflow, and to be honest, it's the same workflow in Windows 8. So for us, it was just a snap to adopt it.
Do you think that it's a gap? Maybe it'll take a year or two for it to ramp up, that maybe developers will be working in JavaScript more? Or do you think it's going to just kind of stay the same?
It's very hard to say, and I think that, you know, there was a movement or an idea from Microsoft probably to try and attract HTML and JavaScript developers to the rich client, right? And to do that, they offered them a framework. Now, personally speaking, I think that the reason why web developers don't do desktop development, it's not because of the framework, because every developer worth his salt is going to adopt a new language quite fast, right? Especially, I came from JavaScript to C#, so I remember that. It was really a piece of cake. I don't think that's the reason. I think that web developers don't do desktop development because they don't want to do desktop development, because they want to do web development, right? So I'm not sure that it's really going to catch a lot more fishes. And from what I hear, so far the numbers tend to prove that. It's been a year already, right? Or maybe not exactly, but I think that those JavaScript development are not really flocking to Windows 8 dev, and the people who do Windows 8 development are rather the people who did before, you know, CLI, WPF, and other things. So they are more familiar, you know, with the native anyways.
So you've been doing, you know, XAML-based development for a long time.
Yeah.
What do you see changing over time, both in kind of the underlying platform, and then also in the way that you as a developer and professional developers, like, you see kind of movements and shifts in how people are doing XAML-based development?
Yeah, I guess so. It's kind of an interesting mix of wanting to remain the same because we have developed some workflows that we like to adopt, especially when you work very closely with designers like we do, right? And at the same time, having additional things. I think the improvements that I saw over time are really around performance. So now you have, you know, before when you had some data bindings going on, I think of the first versions of the Windows Phone, for example, in the beginning where scrolling was really bad. You had to do quite a lot of things directly in code because sometimes even build your UI in code. Now you have really some improvements there, which are really pretty good. And now you can actually work with visual design tools, with Blend and all that. But at the same time, you don't really lose the performance. You have, you know, the same performance that you would expect from, you know, from native apps, right? Which is really what you want. So I think this is really where I see the most improvement. In terms of Windows 8, Windows 8 is, you know, it's still very new, right? So there are a few things which are missing, and I'm really hoping that we'll see some improvements there. Like, you know, there are a few controls that we don't have. So we have the primitives for those controls, but building those controls takes some time. So you have to do a library for that and all that. So I think that we'll see some, you know, I saw the leaks, right? Just yeah. In Angel's post and all that. So I saw a few things which made me happy there, definitely. Other than that, I think for me, in terms of design and in terms of evolution, what I see really the most is the Windows design team and the Windows Phone design team getting a little bit, making a step in our direction, which means, for example, they have some strong principles, right? Like, you know, content first and, you know, the bars are totally hidden. The application bars and the charms and all that. And while it's nice, it doesn't work well with some clients. Some clients want to have the actions visible, like, for example, a search box, you know. And what I see is that really they open their mind now and they rather push us to do some stuff which is not completely adhering to the Microsoft design principles, but really going a little bit further and sometimes one big step in the direction of the client. One thing that we saw, for example, recently is the new Facebook app on Windows Phone, which is really, I mean, it's not Metro, it's something else. And it's fine. I mean, you know, it's not a problem. But what I mean with that is that I don't think that this application would have been possible 1 year ago. While now they are, you know, a little bit more, maybe a little bit more open-minded or whatever you want to call that, maybe a little bit less sticking to the principles, I guess.
You know, one small thing I'm thinking of is recent updates on Windows Store apps. I'm seeing the print button down in the app bar, right, as opposed to going through the shared or the charm, you know, and devices
exactly.
And all that. And it's like I get that they wanted to standardize, but on mm-hmm. the other hand, it's like a lot of apps, like all you do is print, you know. Let's put let's make it easy.
No, exactly. It's exactly what I had in mind. I mean, I work with a few retailers, for example. For us, for them, search is super important, and you don't want to hide that in the charms bar. Definitely, you want to support that for people who are really, you know, used to Windows 8. They maybe directly go through the charms bar, but in addition to that, you want to really provide a better user experience for the client. So yeah, it's exactly that. Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about sharing code, right?
Yep.
So. What does that entail? How do you go about sharing code? And mm-hmm. Does it really work?
Yeah, it's an interesting space because there is a lot of actually of you know, development in that space recently, and especially in the .NET space there is a portable class library. But of course, outside of the .NET, well, outside of the Microsoft space, there is also Xamarin, which is exactly that, right? How can you write code once and then reuse it everywhere? So this is definitely something which is intriguing us, I would say, and interesting us. My talk was really about portable class libraries. So how do you develop a code base for Windows Phone and Windows 8 and then do two UI based on that code base? And that is something that is really usable now in production already. There are still a few things that need to be ironed, I guess. There is a library which I saw apparently was released like 2 days ago. I didn't try it yet, but I mean, you know, things are moving quite fast. And honestly, 1 year ago when I was talking about portable class libraries, I was telling people it's not quite there yet, so it's not totally ready for production. But now I don't have a problem telling them, go ahead, you know, it's fine. There are a few things you cannot do, so you have maybe to resort to older techniques of sharing code. But no, it's quite interesting. And of course, you know, it's still XAML and C#, so you can also share source code that works too. You can, in the worst case scenario, you have some, you know, pre-compiler directives and then you have it anyway. So we do that quite a lot. We have quite a few clients, actually, where we do applications for Windows 8 and Windows Phone. And definitely sharing code is, you know, making our work much, much faster.
So in MVVM Lite, which I imagine you've ported it to the Windows Phone.
Yes.
Is that a portable class library?
So I have both. I have actually the for each framework, I have one version, which I maintain. And then in addition to that, we have a portable class library version. And I think that, as I mentioned 1 year ago, I was kind of a little bit hesitant to call it production ready. But now more and more, I think we are, you know, almost there yet, right? So the port to Portable Plus Library was actually done by somebody from the Microsoft Portable Plus Library team.
Oh.
They took MVVM Lite a little bit like a guinea pig to try it out and see what were the problems that they were encountering.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say they did a great job, honestly. It's really working well. It's been downloaded already quite a few times. I still have the, you know, the separate versions for each framework, mostly because I think for people who really do only a Windows Phone app, for example, they rather use that because it is really very stable and very established, very well known. But I'm thinking that we are reaching the point where it's going to make sense to merge it and, you know, at some point really go the just the Portable Plus Library way.
I mean, so what were the challenges with MVVM Lite trying to get that into a portable class library? Or maybe you could give a 30-second introduction of what that library is, just in case someone
sure.
hasn't heard of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So MVVM Lite is a toolkit. So it's a set of tools which is helping you to develop, you know, XAML C# applications faster. And really, it's all about avoiding to type too much code, because when you type code, you introduce bugs, and that's not what you want, right? Typically. So what I have is, some libraries with, iNotify property change. It's like the one that everybody always implements when they start, you know, doing some MVVM. So that's a given. I have a few ways to raise a property change event depending on your preferences. I have, things like a relay command, which is an implementation of iCommand, but which is really much easier to use. I have a messenger, which is an event bus, a little bit like in Prism. You have the, what is it called now? The, you know what I'm.
I know what you mean. I can't think of the name. Yep.
The thing.
The thing. Yeah, the blob. Anyway, nowadays we cannot talk about Prism, right? It's like this NSA thing.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, I was joking about this on Twitter. I said I want to make an ad for MVVM Lite. You know, MVVM Lite, we respect your privacy. So anyway, this event bus, and that's what I call the messenger.
Right.
And then I have a few helper classes for especially multi-threaded operation, which is always something in view models you bind to. You know, to a UI element, so you will have some cross-thread exception, things like that. I have an IOC container also, which is just a very simple one to do. I call it the gateway drug to IOC containers because people use it when they never used an IOC container before, and then they get addicted, and then they use something else which is more powerful, which is cool. And in addition to that, those are the libraries, but in addition to that, I have some project templates, code snippets, so really anything that makes you write code faster.
Okay.
That's kind of the idea.
But the classes, the abstractions that you have, a lot of them don't sound like they should be tied to a specific platform, except maybe the multi-threading stuff. So what was the difficulty with a platform portable class library?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. But so MVVM Lite is really a view thing, right? And unfortunately, the view is really what is most different between, for example, Windows 8, Windows Phone, WPF, and all that, right? There are some things which are kind of aberrations, if I may say. Like, for example, detecting the design mode in WPF is not the same at all than detecting the design mode in the phone.
Yeah.
And that, in my opinion, doesn't quite make sense because it's just that, okay, they decided at some point to implement it differently. But there are also some things which are more inherent to the platform. Like, well, okay, the messenger, the code is pretty much the same, but relay command, well, yeah, okay, it's not too bad either because iCommand is kind of, you know, the same everywhere. The multi-threading thing, definitely, like you mentioned, it's not exactly the same, right? In some cases, you don't, you know, dispatch the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the main thing. And in the case of portable class libraries, because MVVM Lite is really a view-oriented library, and PCL, not necessarily, it's rather something which is rather good for models and view models, right? So that was where they had a few difficulties, and especially the whole, you have those behaviors in XAML that we use quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That was not in PCL, so they had to kind of add it, you know, and that was really the big difficulty there.
Okay.
With the latest changes to Windows 8 and Metro becoming quite popular and flat and all those things, how do you make the design decisions when you're making your application? I could imagine one client would say, well, our app is for these people and make it Metro.
Yeah.
Do you ever have to counsel people and say, well, listen, you know, Metro might be right for you, might not be right for you? Or how do you go through that process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting process, and we have really multiple phases. So we always start, or most of the time we start with something called information architecture, which is really a special type of designers. And those are actually the guys who make those kinds of decisions. And in order to do that, what they do is that they talk to the client, but they also talk to the users, to the end users. And they try to understand, okay, what do you need and what, because often people have an application already, so what is not covered by the current application? And those are the guys who really know the design principles by heart, right? So they are able to tell you, okay, if you develop an app for, I don't know, for Xbox, then you have to do that. If you develop an app for, you know, Slate, you have to do that. And this phase is a lot of dialogue. And it can actually get quite complex, right? So this is really a profession in itself. It's really a special type of designer. And then we have our creatives, the, you know, the graphic designer, interaction designers who translate that information architecture into the UI, into the code. It's a lot of back and forth with the client, and it's a lot of back and forth with Microsoft as well, especially when Microsoft is, you know, how do you say that, sponsoring whatever, helping, you know, the client to get that application out. We have, actually, when we do these kind of applications, we have special types of reviews, which are really design reviews, where the application might be rejected. While for an independent developer, your application is never going to be rejected because of the design. You know, the, those are guidelines and principles, but if you don't apply them, you know, you could do an iOS-looking application in the Windows Phone Store, and nobody is going to protest about that. But for us, not really, because we have to stick to a few things. So yeah, this is not an easy phase, definitely. It's a whole lot of discussions, yeah.
So if I'm an independent developer and I have a neat idea for a podcast application, what are my considerations, mm-hmm. you know, for the interface? Part of me would think, well, I want to be forward-looking and comply with Metro. The other part of me, I guess the more creative designery part, would think, well, I don't know, maybe X percent are going to be on Windows 7. Maybe I should just make it traditional and not make it look strange.
Mm-hmm.
How would you advise people like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so again, right, it's not super easy, and I'm not a designer myself, sure. So I'm kind of reaching a little bit out of my comfort zone, but it's always good. I think that really there are a few things that you consider. Like, for example, when you create an app first, you're going to have a few things out of the box which are given to you. So you know that XAML is a template-based UI framework, right? So for the same UI control, you're going to have multiple templates, and some of them are going to look Metro, some of them are going to have gradients and look more like Windows 7, for example. And so out of the box, you get the right templates for the frameworks that you target, which means that the button, even though it's the same button underlying, right, it's going to look different in Windows Phone than it looks in CLI, for example, for Windows 7. So that's the first thing. But then after that, if you want to push it further, and so if you just stick to that, you're going to have an application which is a little bit boring. And then after that, you want to push it further. And that's actually the phase where we are now, where I said that, you know, now we are kind of encouraged to think out of the box. It's because, okay, now we have the numbers in terms of application in the Windows Phone Store, but now we need applications which really, you know, stick out, right, and that people notice. And this is where we have to push. So my advice to you as an independent developer would be hire a designer. You know, it's kind of an easy answer, but really those guys are, I mean, it's a job, you know, and as an independent developer, it's not easy to get those two phases, right, the design phase and the development phase. So the best is really, yeah, try to work in collaboration with somebody whose job it is, and that's what I would say.
As we're talking about design, and you've already said that's not your specialty, but I'm going to push you on it anyhow.
Sure.
So there's kind of the, when a lot of people hear, you know, Metro, they think of white screen with, you know, darker squares, or dark screen with bright colored squares.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, there's also, that's not really like built into the Microsoft design language stuff, really. I mean, it fits with it. Those are two implementations that work, but mm-hmm. There's all these things that are alive with color and authentically digital and all that kind
of
stuff. And there were, Kelly Summers had written this series about, you know, like Metro doesn't have to be boring and all mm-hmm. that. What do you think about that, and what do you see clients ending up with?
Yeah, it's a discussion which goes really further than that. I mean, originally Metro is really about Swiss design and typography, and, you know, I hate to call it flat. Actually, I had a long discussion with Arturo Toledo. Maybe you know him, right? He's one of the well-known designers in that space, and he never calls it flat. It's really modern design. But the funny thing is that it was modern back then when Bauhaus was developed in the 1920s, you know? And it is modern in the 1950s when the Swiss design came, and it is modern now when Microsoft made that popular and Apple is apparently, you know, adopting it as well, right? So I think there are trends and cyclic trends in the design anyway. But to come back to really your question, right, the Swiss design doesn't have to be boring, and the metro doesn't have to be boring either. And this is where I advise people to really take the guidelines and the principles. There are those five principles, right? The authentically digital is one, just meaning that, well, you know, skeuomorphic is kind of cool, and, you know, it was done a lot, actually. But now maybe it's time to go back to something which is a little bit more, I mean, when you pass your finger on the screen, you don't actually feel, you know, the 3D and the glass, right? And there is no shadow. So authentically digital just means, well, you know, you're dealing with a flat screen and deal with it, right? It's about that. The whole fast and fluid is one which always comes back, but the whole animation scene, the whole content first. So these kind of things, those are just principles which help you to take a design decision. But after that, your skill as a designer is to push that further and really to make it interesting. And this is where this is where we're at now with a Windows Phone, I guess, a little bit earlier, already last year. We started really doing applications which were getting out of Metro and Microsoft Design. On Windows 8, we are reaching that point now. I think you need a critical mass of applications for that. And once people start to compete with each other, because now on the Windows Phone, you have pretty much applications for everything. So if you want to make an app, you can be sure that there is already an app doing that. So where do you differentiate yourself? Well, by pushing the design and the user experience and making it better. So that's now the kind of the tipping point where things are going to get really interesting, and we are going to see some very different apps. And then there is also the big firms which are kind of bringing a new blood to that, like the new Facebook application. We were talking about that earlier, which is not really Metro. It's really looking like their other apps on the iOS space, or the new Twitter app also. There are a few apps like that. So those big names are also bringing their own brand of design, which is great. I mean, you know, design is a very, it's a space which lives, right? So when you have new influences, it's going to move, it's going to change, and people are adopting it. Like, I mean, the new iOS 7 is definitely, you know, big change from the past, right? And they also bring new IDs, right? If you take an iOS app, it doesn't really look like a Windows Phone app. I mean, you can see the differences. Well, there are similarities, but there are also differences. So all that is moving and changing, and, you know, it's great. I mean, it's a good space to be in, I think.
So aside from building some interesting-looking applications, what do you do for pastimes? What's one of your hobbies?
Well, programming keeps me quite busy, and talking about it and writing about it. So that's definitely a big part. I mean, I do a lot of stuff on my free time as well. So the open source thing is one thing. I write for MSDN Magazine right now, a series of articles, which is keeping me busy. I'm recording a course for Pluralsight, which is also keeping me quite busy. I try to spend as much time as possible with the family. So that's definitely what I do. I travel a lot. So when I'm home, I try to make it count. And thankfully, I work from home. So that's great, because I can really spend a lot of time with the kids.
So from Facebook, I've been seeing your fish pond.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's definitely, I was getting to that, I guess, because okay. It's been a big interest of mine recently. We bought a house 2 years ago, and last year I actually installed a pond, and I tried to make it as natural as possible. And the cool thing is that in Switzerland, you dig a hole, you put some water, and then the next day you have, newts and toads and all kind of life inside. So, I've been spending a lot of time on that and on the garden in general. So it's a nice way, especially when you're spending a lot of time on the computer, taking a half-hour break and coming back all dirty and full of earth and, you know, digging holes and all that. That's a good way to spend time.
Yeah, newts are a lot of fun. I just recently got one. I named him Tiny because he's my newt.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Sorry. Well, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Sure, absolutely. Pleasure.